Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Karen Cullen, and I work at CDC, and I work on the Immunization Information System Sentinel Site Project. So today, I'll be discussing a project that we did looking at simultaneous administration of HPV vaccine among females. Just a little background information. Currently, there are four vaccines that are licensed and recommended for routine administration among adolescents. These include tetanus, diphtheria, and acellular pertussis vaccine, also known as Tdap, meningococcal vaccine, also known as MCV4 or MPSV4, HPV, and also the influenza vaccine. There are currently two types of HPV vaccine that are recommended for use in adolescents, the quadrivalent and the bivalent. The quadrivalent vaccine has been recommended for use since 2006 and has been shown to be efficacious against HPV type 6, 11, 16, and 18. And the bivalent vaccine was just recently recommended for use by the ACIP and protects against HPV type 16 and 18. So here we have the ACIP schedule for adolescents. Both types of HPV vaccine are a three-dose vaccine and are routinely recommended for 11 and 12-year-old girls. The vaccine series can be started at age 9 years of age, and catch-up vaccination is recommended for ages 13 through 26, who have not yet received or completed the vaccine series. The HPV vaccine has recently been licensed for use in males, but we focused our analysis on females only at this time. ACIP recommends simultaneous administration of all age-appropriate vaccine doses for children or to children without specific contraindications. ACIP's initial recommendations for use of the quadrivalent HPV vaccine acknowledge the benefits of administering HPV vaccine simultaneously with other vaccines, and notes that administering all indicated vaccines together at a single visit would increase the likelihood that adolescents would receive each of the recommended vaccines on schedule. The objective of this study was to describe the patterns of simultaneous administration of HPV vaccine among adolescent females. We defined simultaneous administration as more than one vaccine being administered on the same date. We examined simultaneous administration of HPV vaccine with any non-HPV vaccine and also with Tdap or meningococcal vaccines. So I'm going to quickly go through what IIS are, since we are all usually very familiar with this. We are using data from IIS, and IIS are confidential population-based computerized data systems that were designed primarily to consolidate vaccination records for all children within a geographic area from multiple vaccine providers. The primary sources of IIS data are clinical data entered in by health provider staff and health departments, billing data, and downloads of birth certificate information. Many states are now recruiting STD clinics, juvenile detention centers, and OBGYN offices to better capture HPV vaccine use in all adolescents and adults. Many IIS are also now have the ability to exchange data with electronic medical records, and many also use their IIS for features such as vaccine inventory management. Although the focus of IIS has primarily been on children less than 6 years of age, as of the end of 2008, approximately 80% of the 11 to 18-year-olds in the U.S. have two or more records in an IIS, two or more vaccine records in an IIS. And this is similar to what we see for children who are younger. A little bit about the IIS Sentinel Site Project, from which this data comes. The IIS Sentinel Site Project includes 8 CDC immunization grantees who have chosen a subset of their state or city IIS for analysis. data collection for evaluation projects is limited to persons who are less than 19 years of age, and they use enhanced data quality procedures in these areas. So they have also have excellent child and provider site participation in these areas, and the majority of the vaccination data are in the IIS within 30 days. Here is the map of the U.S. with our 8 sites. The sites are Arizona, Colorado, Michigan, Minnesota, New York City, North Dakota, Oregon, and Wisconsin. Although New York City and North Dakota use their entire geographic area for this analysis, other grantees use only a portion of their state. Oregon has limited their analysis to the greater Portland area, and the Arizona Sentinel site includes the northern part of the state. The numbers included here on the slide are the total number of adolescents, 11 to 18 years of age, as of the end of 2008. We can see that these numbers vary greatly by site. We range from our smallest site of Colorado with just over 16,000 to New York City with over 1.1 million. For this analysis, we have data for each quarter and year from the first quarter of 2008 through the fourth quarter of 2009. And each IIS reported the number of vaccine recipients who were 11 to 18 years of age. We specifically asked them questions about simultaneous or same-day administration with HPV. Data were analyzed by quarter, by Sentinel site, age group within the 11 to 18-year-olds, and we looked at co-administration of adolescent vaccines. Unfortunately, two sites were excluded from this analysis due to missing data, and we only collected data on simultaneous administration among females, since at the time, HPV was not recommended for males. This graph right here illustrates the percentage of females with one or more dose of HPV vaccine by quarter and by age group. The red line is for the 11 to 12-year-olds. The green line, yep, it's green up there, is for 13 to 15-year-olds, and the yellow line is for 16 to 18-year-olds. As of the end of December 2009, for the entire age group, about 30% of adolescent females had received at least one HPV vaccination. And we can see that within these age groups here, increases were seen from quarter one 2008 through quarter four 2009. The largest increase was seen among the 16 to 18-year-olds, and that increased 81% from quarter one 2008 to quarter four 2009. This graph right here illustrates the percent of adolescents with one or more doses of Tdap, meningococcal, or HPV vaccine by age group. Again, we limited the HPV to females only. For each age group, we can see that more adolescents received one or more doses of Tdap than meningococcal or HPV vaccine. And the percentage of females with one or more HPV vaccination was lowest among 11 to 12-year-olds, which makes sense because they're still eligible to get the vaccine in that age group, and was higher among the older adolescents, which is what we would want to see. This graph here can be a little confusing. It illustrates the same-day administration of HPV vaccine and other vaccines among adolescent females. The set of bars on the far left indicate the percent of adolescents who received an HPV vaccine and a non-HPV vaccine on the same day. It could be anything, from influenza to MMR or Tdap or meninge. The middle sets show the percent with same-day administration of HPV and Tdap and this HPV and meninge. The far right set bars shows the percent of adolescent females who received all three HPV, Tdap, and meningococcal vaccines on the same day. So we can see the percentage of adolescents who received more than one vaccination on the same day is low. I'd also like to note that we were not able to determine if adolescents received HPV and Tdap only or HPV and meningococcal vaccination only. So the three right sets of bars are not mutually exclusive. Since HPV vaccination was so low, when we restricted our analysis to those adolescents who had received one or more doses of HPV, the picture kind of changes a little bit. The percentages go up, and that's definitely more promising. We can see that a larger percentage of those girls who got at least one HPV also got something else on the same day. And we can see a gradual increase over time from quarter one 2008 to quarter four 2009. Also, when we look among females who've had at least one dose of HPV, and we want to look at those girls who got all three HPV, Tdap, and meningococcal vaccine on the same day, we see some differences here by age. The differences between the age groups is bigger on this for this data than for the last data. By the end of 2009, 17% of adolescent females 16 to 18 years old who received an HPV vaccine also got their Tdap and meningococcal vaccines on the same day. This percentage was, we can see, is higher among 11 to 12 year olds, that's 47%, and even higher among 13 to 15 year olds at 64%. And as with the last graph, we see a gradual increase in all three age groups over time. So the important strengths of this study are that the data set that we looked at included data from over 1.3 million enrolled adolescents, and the data are extremely timely. Approximately 90% of vaccines administered are entered into the IIS within 30 days of vaccine administration. However, we have some limitations, and those include that the data are not nationally representative, and they may not even necessarily be representative of the entire state from which they came, particularly for those sites that did not include, you know, North Dakota and New York City included their entire jurisdiction, but the others may not be representative of their rest of their state. The data are also reported to us in aggregate format, and so we don't have individual level data on these adolescents. And we are also limited to what we asked for in the beginning. So that one slide where the categories were not mutually exclusive, we just didn't ask the right questions at the beginning, so we weren't able to tease those out for adolescents who received, you know, only HPV and Tdap or only HPV and meningococcal vaccine. In addition, some providers who have not offered vaccines in the past may not be offering HPV vaccine, and all providers may not be enrolled in the IIS. And again, this may lead to an underestimate of vaccination coverage. In conclusion, despite the ACIP recommendation to vaccinate 11 to 12 year old females, the majority of females who receive the vaccine are older, and the coverage for HPV is not as high as we would like for it to be. But as time passes, we are beginning to see more females who complete the vaccination series, and the majority of females who do receive an HPV vaccine do get another vaccine during the same visit, which is really promising. So the message is, really, we need to get those girls and those boys now too to come in and get their HPV, and while they're in the office, we should give them the other vaccines they're recommended for. So our next steps, we will continue to be monitoring HPV vaccine uptake during the remainder of the IIS Sentinel site project period. And we will be particularly focusing on series completion to make sure that the adolescents are receiving three doses. We are also going to, at some point, examine uptake and also same-day administration among males now that they're allowed to be vaccinated. And since the bivalent vaccine has been recently licensed, we'll probably do a special study to examine the uptake of that vaccine as well. And my last slide, I would like to acknowledge all of the Sentinel site colleagues who provided the data to us, and also to colleagues at CDC. So I think we're opening it up for questions now.
Are there any questions for any of our speakers? I'll save mine since there's some from the audience.
This is a question for Karen. It was a very nice study, but you know, HPV is a three-dose series, and you just stated that the majority of female adolescents are not getting HPV at age 11 or 12, so and getting it later. So, were you able to look specifically at the first dose of HPV, and was the first dose given on the same day as the other vaccines or not? Because I can imagine that maybe meningococcal vaccine and Tdap are being given at 11 and 12, and then the HPV at 13 or whatever age.
Right. Unfortunately, we didn't ask it. As I said, we collect our data in aggregate, and so we did not specify to look at, you know, which dose of HPV they were getting with other vaccines, but you know, hopefully in the future we'll be able to look at just that, because those were some of the questions I had as well.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any other questions? I have a quick question for Chris. Now seeing some of the data quality challenges that, particularly with HIV, that come in with outdated vaccines, has Minnesota's IIS taken any steps to try to, instead of having to go back and clean up, which is very resource intensive, any proactive steps to prevent those outdated codes and things like that, or even the move the not otherwise specified reporters to a more specific vaccine type as data come in and get submitted, either through the web entry or through batch reporting?
You know what? Erin, would you want to comment on that? No. I'm sorry. I'm the global 50,000 foot spokesperson. So Erin's actually part of our registry team. So
I think it's some of the steps Chris mentioned. I think a lot of it's coming through the batch submissions where the provider had something set up for them, you know, at one point way back, you know, in history years ago when they first got set up on MIC, and they've always, you know, they've kept using those same outdated codes or that have since become outdated. So what we're trying to do is have better communication with the IT side of these batch submitters to get them to look at what codes they're sending in and, you know, be able to tell them clearly, well, this is an outdated code, you know, what are you sending in reality? So
and we are looking at that. And we did mention in the slides that we do have a automated system so that the IT folks will get the updated information. So the hope is that then that would allow them to be more current. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Erin. Sorry.
Any other questions before we close for the evening? Well, thank you very much for your participation.